Oh my God, don't even ask me. It's not that day.
It's one of those days, isn't it? Are we live? Did we break the intro?
We're live. All right, let's go to the intro. We're going to the intro and then we're going to go live.
Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech, Sales, and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip.
Oh, man. This is what happens
when you get up 12 minutes or 14 minutes before we're meant to go live.
12 minutes. We're 12 minutes. For those of you, by the way, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? For the, well, you guys don't know what happens behind the scenes when we prepare for these things every single week. There, a lot goes on when you prepare for these shows. So
we are professionals, honestly, kind of ish, somewhat.
We, the backstory here.
You're the professional here, by the way. I'm going to point this one out. You are the professional here.
I'm an octopus. You know, I got like, if you don't even know what's going on this table, I got like XLR cables and.
Oh gosh, I can only imagine.
I can't even. So yeah, I mean, I went to bed very, very early, if you will.
Well, that's good though. I mean, I got squishy bits on the computer monitor. It sounds like you were doing the same stuff, except mine was outdoors getting covered in mud.
Yes.
Indoors messing with paints. So
yes, I was painting all night, folks, and Chris was on bikes outside chasing thunder. Yes.
And I was using my new helmet. I did actually. So to those that, and we'll talk about the bike stuff in a minute. To those that follow the posts, I did actually buy myself a helmet Monday when I end up buying the e-bike that I'd taken out on Sunday and rented and scratched. So ended up taking the bike out Monday without a helmet. But Tuesday, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wear the helmet, which is probably a good job I wore the helmet last night because I cracked it and broke it. I was going down, it was nasty, wet and slimy and all that kind of good stuff, and I was coming down a bit of a scree slope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still getting used to that bike. The bike is heavier because it's an e-bike, so I'm used to my lefty. Lefty is like weighs as much as my left leg, pretty much, if not less than my left leg. It's ridiculously chuckable. I'm not used to the mass and how chuckable the track is. So I'm coming down this damn slope and the slope goes down and it kinks left and then kinks back over to the right. And as it kinks right, there's a freaking rain channel down the scree slope. And I hit the rain channel and rather than being able to pop the front wheel up, I just hit the rain channel and I went, wee!
Ooh.
So I landed, I did a somersault as best as I can recollect and winded myself and cracked the back of my helmet, basically the back right here. So,
damn.
Yeah, I'll be buying a new helmet before I go back out on that bike. You know, the bike's in good shape. My right leg's a bit knocked up. My left shoulder, right shoulder's got a scrape. Left, yeah, I'm a mess, but I had so much.
Wow. I mean, if you had fun, that's what's most important. And you're intact, so.
At my neck of the woods, you got Golden, Colorado, which is, and there's a gorgeous tabletop mountain. Mm-hmm. And there's this stupid slug to go up it. It's like up at about this. It feels like it's this angle, but I think it's probably more like this angle. And it goes on for 3/4 of a mile or something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And so normally getting up there, by the time I get up to the top of that thing, I'm like, my lungs are like, what the hell are you doing? And my legs are like, why did you do that to us? And I got to the top this time and I'm like, oh, that was fun. And I just kept on going and kept on. And I came down the stupid thing. And then I went back up and that was my mistake. I went back up the top of the scree slope and I'm like, I don't really feel like doing an entire loop because I was already saturated wet because it was raining and thundering. I was already soaking wet. I was head to toe in mud. I got a picture of me. I was like head to toe in mud. And I'm like, I'm just going to go back down the scree slope. And that was my mistake. My mistake.
Oh, man.
I should have paused longer, should have waited in a sheltered place for maybe 10 minutes to let everything cool down and relax a bit. But I went back down. And so I'd been out for like an hour, hour and a half, dicking around on top of this tabletop like an idiot. And I probably could have navigated it if I'd have been less tired and more like whatever on tune. But yeah, so yeah, new helmet.
Oh, well, I'm again glad you had the helmet and that's what took the fall for you.
Yeah.
Be careful and bring up those photos. You have the battle photos. Bring those up.
I'll
bring them up on the show.
I'll stick on a LinkedIn. But actually, you know what I'm going to do? Here's a question for everybody that's listening. I was going to put it on LinkedIn. So I used to put a post out about once every week, once every couple of weeks about weight and health and stuff like that. And I got out of the habit, especially with all the diabetes and the other stuff and the kidneys and cancer and crap. I kind of got out of the habit of doing that. Partly for my own mental sanity, to be honest. And I'm thinking about going back and doing like about a weekly post on old guy on bike and doing something like that, because it's trying to encourage people, because I think it's useful. It's something very, okay, yes, keep doing this. Sorry. So I think I probably will do, because I mean, the nice thing about this is I'm deliberately stopping and I'm taking a space and I'm taking a couple of pictures. One, because I'm sending them to my mother because I don't have Twitter anymore. But it's one of those things where I think if it helps and encourages and goes, hey, look, you know, this old fart who's got all the stupid shit going wrong with him can still get his ass out on a bike and still enjoy the bits of life and go further than absolutely Muhoney. Okay. All right. So there we go. All right. Old guy on bike will be a once a week ish feature on LinkedIn. So I'll do it. All right. Thank you.
All right. We got it.
Yeah. And I'll give musings and thoughts and the occasional new cracked helmet, apparently.
Oh man, be careful.
Careful. It's me. I bounce. My right leg is looking a little war torn, but I survived and it's fun. The other thing the military teaches you, it teaches you two things. The military teaches you how to take power naps, and it's a beautiful way of doing it.
I need to learn that, apparently.
The military is really good at also teaching you how to tuck and roll properly.
I also need to learn that.
Yeah, when you get to live fire, like dry fire stuff, whatever, you get hit by cardboard or hit by other bits of shit, it's not better. But yeah, live fire, you get your head down real fucking quickly, especially out in theater. So yeah, if nothing else, the military is really good at teaching you how to tuck and roll properly.
Oh man, I have much to learn apparently in life.
Oh,
it's live fire is the third one because I have a wife. So
no, you don't want that.
Yeah.
It's not something that any person who, we shouldn't have to.
All right.
What do we got?
What do we got?
What do we got?
We have a lot on the plate today. We have T-minus 1 week until a lot of us are out at this big shenanigans of a show called Hacker Summer Camp.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, it's going to be a week. It's going to be an interesting, you know, and for anybody listening, anybody that is going and anybody that watches this, we're not joking. The one thing, so DEF CON runs something called DEF CON 101, and there's some amazing people over the years that have actually hosted DEF CON 101. But there's a very, very simple thing. It's that 3-2-1 rule, 3 hours of sleep, two meals, and one shower. And it all comes back to that humanity and self-care thing. Because, I mean, good grief, the many years I've been going, you go and you just get this tunnel vision and you don't think about things. You end up coming away from it hurt, injured, tired, wiped out with, you know, con crud and all sorts of other things. And so often that's just because we haven't looked after ourselves or we haven't gone in and planned. Like, for the last several years, and it hasn't been a long time, for the last several years, I've planned my week out pretty efficiently. Now things change, shit happens, but at least I know where I'm going to be, what I'm going to do. I know I've got meal breaks in there. I know when I'm going to crash and go to sleep. I know I'm still going to stay up till stupid hours in the morning doing absolutely ridiculous things at least once or twice while I'm out there. No, my manicure isn't. I lost a nail. I damn well chipped one of my damn nails. So I'm actually going back in before this week and I'm going to go get another manicure.
Thank God this is recorded. That's going to be part of the trailer. I lost a nail.
I was in a meeting the other day and I'm like, God damn it, I've chipped my nail polish. And I looked around and I'm like, yeah, you're probably not going to hear that from a CISO too often. I wish you would hear it more often. Let me rephrase that. I wish we would hear that more
often. Seriously. Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God.
What are you most looking forward to next week?
Family.
Mm.
Family. Truthfully, catching up with family. I mean, you and I were going to do the podcast live from next week, which would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I get to catch up with all the stuff that you're doing on various other dates. I get to catch up with my Tinkerer family, which is always amazing to do. I've got a, you know, and I get to see them, you know, pretty much like twice a year, once out at in San Francisco World, and then once obviously out here. So I'm looking forward to that. I look forward to catching up with some of the B-Sides crew as well. Definitely. I was going to volunteer. Time is just getting stupid. Other thing I'm actually looking forward to, and I'm still debating how I'm going to do it, is my drive. I typically almost without fail will drive there and back. And it's a long drive, but it's a gorgeous drive. Mm-hmm. It's a time to take a step back. It's time to put the music on, the massage seat in the car on, and just enjoy the scenery. It's a time to just take a moment away from some of the realities of this world. And go that little slice of heaven between basically Denver and pretty much so LA, not LA, Las Vegas. That strip of land there is just drop dead gorgeous. And so I look forward to that. Now, with the new e-bike, I'm really tempted to actually chuck that in the back of the car along with all the whiskey, several of the weapons for the shoot and a bunch of other shit.
And a helmet.
To leave on Saturday rather than on Sunday and actually stop at a few places and go biking. Now,
oh, that's cool.
I haven't finalized it in my head, but I'm kind of seriously thinking about doing that.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Take pictures. The drive from California is not so pretty.
Yeah, it's that's a bit of an icky drive, but
I mean, we got giant thermometers and gas stations, apparently.
Yeah, no, we have it's only that last hour. Once you get outside of, you go past like the Beaver and a bunch of other places, and that last hour when you come out of the hills into Vegas is iffy. It's kind of boring. But the preceding, depends on how fast you're driving, 7-ish hours are just drop dead amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Well, safe drives. Super excited to see you. I'm also really looking forward to seeing family, seeing friends, hanging out, bringing my girls with me. So that's exciting.
You're bringing the crew.
Yeah, I'm bringing the crew. All right. So let's go get into it. Today, we want to talk about the note before you go, folks. We're going to talk about etiquette to engage with security practitioners at Black Hat. Mm-hmm. And I want to get into it. Let's go down the list, the do's and the don'ts. What should we be doing? What should we be not doing from a sales marketing perspective at the show? And we could this is a broad question because there's so much going on at the show. You have the offsite events, you have the lobby con, you have the bars, you have the cocktail hours, the parties, and then the expo, right? And then in-suite activities too. I don't want to go on there.
I think there's a few things. And I'll actually start, there's a few things on the top of that. I should have written some of these down. So first and foremost, there are a thousand parties going on. Do not expect everybody you invite to turn up. I mean, over invite, under appreciate who arrives. There's very few exceptions to that rule. There's a couple of amazing ones. I know the folks over at IO and obviously the Tinkerer's Drinks and a bunch of others. They will be busy and all that kind of good stuff. But there are 1,001 parties. So do not pressure people into appearing, going, hey, like, we're doing something here. We'd love to see you if you get chance. One of the best ones I've seen, and they did it at RSA, and I think they're doing it again out in Vegas, is like the morning after breakfast, which is actually a fantastic.
Sam T.
So I love that. It's a real fantastic
hangover bar.
There we go. And I like it because it's more chill, more relaxed, and it's an actual recognition of the fact that everybody's like, oh, I've got to get up because I've got to present or talk or be somewhere or whatever. Therefore, just a quick stop off and go. So I think it's definitely, for me, that big one is if you are laying on a party or at a table or whatever, just be very cognizant, and especially be very cognizant of the fact that people don't want to talk sales there. They just want to mingle with family. I mean, you heard from both Danny and I could pick 10,000 other people and ask them, why are you going to Vegas? And 9,000 of them will turn around and say, because they want to see family.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 10,000, maybe only 100 want to go, I want to go see vendors. So just be very, very well aware that you are not necessarily the priority. You are the reason everything's there, but you're not the priority. So just castle that around that it's not a sales opportunity, it's a family opportunity.
But I want to interject here because you said something very, very interesting, and I got a I got a noodle on it.
Oh yeah.
Out of the 10,100 or maybe interested in the solution, what factors actually do influence you though, and your decision in engaging with a vendor at events like Black Hat, at Black Hat?
I think it's a lot of it is it's two things. It's one, actually, you know, let's start with the easy one. It is. It's does the booth catch the eye?
Yeah.
Now that's a tough one because the overstuffed, overblown, I've spent a million on this space booths suck. Mm-hmm. I don't like them. They're too glitzy. And most of us, especially in leadership positions, don't deal well with that. It's mm-hmm. It's the more subtle things. The eye-catching thing is also a very subtle thing as well. If it's got too many buzzwords, in other words, if I walk by and it's nothing but a wall of buzzwords, I'm going to keep on walking. If I walk by and your 5 to 10 second elevator pitch on the side of your booth does not actually explain to me what you do in English language, I'm going to walk by. If it doesn't resonate with what's on my hit list for the next 12 to 18 months, I'm going to walk by.
Right.
If your booth people appear disinterested or overly interested, I'm going to walk by.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got people sitting there on booth duty that are doing nothing more, that are like, I mean, how many times have we seen it? You're sitting at a booth table and they're doing this. And they're like, okay, I'm done. I'm not even, you know.
Yeah, they gotta keep up with their lead tracker.
Now, the flip side of that, if I see somebody that's drooling at the side of the chops and is sitting there ready to try to like literally noose me in, I'm going to not walk by, I'm going to run by.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Or you could bike by.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And so it's very much.
What? George.
It's an interesting one because I mean, it's visually appealing, but not overly like, what the fuck? I mean, this is why we do this. You know, this is why we do this. It's
yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's a good list.
Yeah. I mean, but again, it's the same stuff we've been saying.
Yeah.
All too often, especially on the leadership folks, the people like us that are running around with the checkbooks, if I see too much overpromising on delivering, or if I see too much bullshit, or I see too many buzzwords, or I see too many absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, oh yeah, there we go. Perfect. Chris, yeah, that shit. Can I scan your badge? One, mm-hmm. My badge is always in my pocket. So the chance of you knowing who I am, unless you know who I am, sucks. Secondly, Chris is so, so right. This can I scan your badge is fucking bullshit. And neither do I want to play scan badge for swag. One, I don't want to carry swag around a freaking conference. Secondly, the socks that you sell me are no use for my damn Vibrams. And thirdly, I would rather you don't sell any fucking swag and you don't give any swag away because so much of it ends up in the damn landfill. So quit that shit and donate money to a fucking charity.
It's funny because like whenever I like pop by a booth, I'm like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm not a buyer. I'm not looking for anything with regard to your solution. And then, you know, they go even it's like the tone of voice and the body language. But they're like, can I just scan your badge? Like,
yeah.
I'm like, no, like I just told you I'm not even qualified. Like, but can I scan it?
Yeah.
So they know that it's bullshit.
Well, I think that's another thing. And Chris just said it. This goes back to quantity over quality.
Yeah.
And it also goes back to the folks that are on, booth duty. Let's be very, very honest on this one. If I walk up to a booth, I want to have an intellectual conversation.
Yeah.
I want to have an in-depth conversation. I don't need the person on booth to have read the 2-page marketing blurb that you handed to them in order for them to pass as one of your people and to scan my badge. I want somebody around or on duty or that I know I can come back to that actually has knowledge, deep knowledge as to what the hell is going on.
What's I want to go back to do's and don'ts because we're at 19 minutes and we have a lot of talking points.
Yeah.
Like what's jam packed today. What else? Do's, don'ts.
I think it's both. I think the other thing is as well, for everybody that's going, be respectful. we're all there for, you know, if we're wandering around for a reason. If you're on booth duty, you're on booth duty for a reason. I think it behooves both parties. Number one, any C-service listening, don't walk around like a fucking entitled asshole. And don't be rude.
You're there
because you want to be there. Nobody's actually forcing you to be there. Believe me, if your company's forcing you to be at Black Hat, you turn up at Black Hat, you go sit at the bar for 2 days, you tell them you did a good job. Don't be that dick that walks around grumpy and pissed off. Just don't fucking do it. Because the sideline is, on the side of that, having sat on a booth, I actually would like to have intellectual conversations with people, not a bunch of grumpy bastards.
Yeah.
So, dear CISO, dear leader, dear manager, dear admin, dear anybody that's walking around, don't be a grumpy asshole. Get the fuck out of there and have a drink or go take a walk somewhere. That's the first one. The second one, the scan badge is a perfect example. Actually come armed with some information that's useful. Don't learn absolutes. Don't talk about absolutes. And I think just be respectful. I mean, the thing is back to that being respectful. You know, there are things I'm going to want to go out to Black Hat and talk to people about.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I don't even know if I'll do the floor because I don't have an expert pass. I can probably go make my own, let's face it. But I don't have an expert pass this year. I didn't even bother. I've not even bothered asking or getting one. I've got enough meetings outside that I'm going to do all of my talking outside of there. I think that's most of the thing as well.
I think another thing to add for sales and marketing folks is engage with people, engage with buyers, ask questions. Like, it's a perfect opportunity to do research.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, even kind of listen in, look at, go to Innovation City. Is it called Innovation City still this year? I don't even know. Look at tune into like conversation. I know it's eavesdropping a little bit, but like tune into conversations, listen to what people are talking about. Listen, ask questions, get feedback, establish relationships through that feedback channel, right? I think that's super powerful, especially in person.
Yeah.
Because again, let's face it, like you said it, out of 10,000, 100 are actually going to potentially evaluate your solution and buy something, right? I don't know if that stat's accurate, but like, oh, that's, you know,
I would imagine, let's just give it 10%.
Yeah, like 10%.
We'll be generous and say 10% of people actually are going there to evaluate and buy.
Like, how many marketers and sales folks actually kind of like assess the floor too? From an events perspective, and we did, George and I did it at RSA. I mean, I don't know if I want to do it again, to be honest.
What you do is a lot of work.
How many of you actually assess the floor? Okay, well, what should we be doing different later or in the next event that's actually going to bring ROI to us as a company? So I think that's another kind of do. Don't get sloshed. If you do,
that's a biggie. Yeah,
when to step out.
Yeah, that's a huge one. I've been at vendor dinners when the vendor had a few too many.
Yeah.
And at most, I mean, especially if I'm driving, I'll have one. I mean, that's it. End of conversation. And at that point, now I'm sitting there on one drink and the vendor's sitting there half a dozen in because, you know, it's on their tab or somebody's tab. I have no, and especially again, Vegas with all the behavior that goes on there. It's like, just be aware of who's watching you. Cause some of us, you know, getting caught naked in the fountain is actually not a bad thing. If you're going to do it at DEF CON or B-Sides, I'm actually perfectly okay with that. Black Hat, probably a little less so. Oh, googly eyes. That is one of the do's. Go to, where's my, I've got, I, you know, oh, I know where my bag of googly eyes with. You have to go to DEF CON with googly eyes because all of the statues in the fountain have to have googly eyes because normally security replaces them like every 5 fucking minutes. So everybody needs to walk around with a handful of googly eyes and put them on all the pictures in all the fountains. Please do this because it's a must. I'd forgotten about googly eyes. Holy shit, I need to get googly. What are we on today? Wednesday. I can get googly eyes on Amazon. Who's talking?
Oh my goodness. What is another one? Have fun, hydrate, get rest.
Get rest is a biggie because, I mean, you're out there for, you know, in my case, I'm leaving either Saturday or Sunday and I'll be there through following Saturday because I'm talking at the Aviation Village and I'm going to hang at the Aviation Village most, if not all of Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so that's a week of conference, including, you know, almost every single night something going on, every single day, multiple meetings. you get worn out. So I think that's the other one, mental breaks in healthcare. So find a quiet space. Even if it means, well, going for a walk in Vegas is not a quiet space.
Yeah.
Even if it means, you know, back to your hotel room, curling up with a book, something along those lines. Try to find something that you can do that takes you away from it for a period of time.
Love it. You know, anybody else has do's and don'ts? Let us know in the comments. Link them. Gary actually wrote a manifesto. He updated the manifesto. What you should do.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest manifesto.
So Gary Haslip writes, he has this like notorious, like epic LinkedIn article. I think it's like even on Medium or a bunch of channels. And he basically like lists out what you should and should not do. And he updated it for Black Hat. And unfortunately, I don't know if you did, but I didn't send him the like any recommendations to add to that. But super great article. We could link it here. I'll find it. I'll link it later after the show. Take a look at that. And if you're not following Gary, follow Gary. He's a great guy.
Yeah, Gary's good. Gary's really good people. I think he's going to be hanging out with you and I and a bunch of other good folks on Wednesday, Thursday, isn't he?
Gary had to back out, unfortunately. Oh, yeah, SoftBank took over.
I'll give him shit at the Tinkerers event. Yeah, he's going. I'll just figure that one out.
Now I got to find a replacement.
Yeah, there we go. Enjoy a show. That's not a bad one. I mean, that is, I've done, over the years, I've gone out and done a bunch of the Cirque du Soleil shows over there, which has been rather fantastic.
Oh, man, I love a good Cirque. I think I'm going to do O this year because it's
I did that several years ago.
It's Tal's birthday, and I'm going to take her. Or that or like Magic Mike. I don't know. So we'll see.
Yeah. Bit of both. There's the Australian. Isn't Thunder Down Under still out there?
I mean, why not? You know?
You can both. You can do Thunder Down Under and Magic Mike and do a compare and contrast.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so I do want to talk about activity leading up to events like Black Hat. So can you share like any experiences? And this, we know, you shared the YouTube video with me and I shared it with Maria, by the way. Some experiences of being approached by vendors before events or at events, like what stands out to you negatively and positively? And this is, folks, for those of you who don't know, this is the teardown session right now. This is the section where we tear it down. So take me through the story of why I'm bringing up this question, Chris.
Oh my gosh, that bloody video. Where is it? It's
I don't know if we should call out the vendor, but let's just say
we don't necessarily
Tomas
have to.
Really Cruz.
To, we don't necessarily have to.
We're feeling Tom Cruise today. Let's just say that much.
Oh, it just looks bad. Okay, so here I'm. So for those of you, all right. So long story short, obviously, there's 1,001 vendors at Black Hat. Every single one of them wants to catch your attention. Let's just get to the very basics. Every single one of them wants you to drive by traffic, catch the attention, potentially contemplate them when looking at security products. So they all go to various different lengths, shall we say, to try to get your attention. One particularly security defense organization, a company beginning with a P, decided to hire I don't know if I'd call them a Tom Cruise lookalike. You know what they look like? It looks like do you remember, what was that second or third Terminator movie? They looked like the guy from that second or third, I know what it was. Have you ever seen Tomorrowland?
A long time ago.
Okay, do you remember Tomorrowland, the bad robot guys on Tomorrowland that would always sit there and walk up to you and go, hi. And they would smile in that weird, nasty-ass, kind of funny, kind of crazy way. Like, I'm going to back away 2 steps and I'm going to shoot you. Yeah. So they hired this actor who's literally sitting on the Tom Cruise motorbike wearing the Tom Cruise jacket to talk about their particular security product. And he talks about it. And then he's got this weird grin. And then he talks again. He's got this weird grin. And it's scary.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. I have to Google it. There we go.
It's really bad. Tell me it doesn't look like that grin from Tomorrowland.
This one?
Yeah. That's the one. Yeah. Yeah. It looks like that grin.
Yeah, kind of. Oh, this is it. This is what he looked like.
They're perfect. Yeah.
This is it.
And so this security company that wants you to elevate your defense and embrace the power of their award-winning platform. By the way, I don't know which hate the lead up. Yeah, no shit, you and I both. I don't know what awards they've potentially won, but I'd be really interested in if they're the self-sponsored pay-to-play award. But it is God's awful, a terrible 1.5 minutes of cringeworthy, what the actual were they thinking moment. Yeah. I don't know who signed off on it.
Yeah,
I really would love to know. And I know the CEO of this company and a few of the other folks, and I really want to take them aside and go,
what in the bloody hell?
Give me the name and the address of your marketing person, because I will put them out of my misery.
I actually did scroll down to see who this marketing person is. That's what I did. I was like, what the?
Oh, good.
Because, I mean, like, that had to be a chunk of change to do something like that.
Somebody signed off on it. This is like, the other thing. Somebody looked at this in a boardroom and went, oh, this is splendid. Let's put this out on the internet.
So what was the problem with that? Let's break it down. Okay. And then let's talk about kind of a buildup. And I have a concrete example that I think would resonate with you all today. But let's break it down and also talk, like, I do want to know from your perspective, how does mass media, because we're talking about Tom Cruise. Now we have the Barbie and the Oppenheimer trend, and we always have some kind of trend with mass media and marketing tying in. So, like, how does mass media or mainstream media actually influence or impact you in your journey of becoming aware of tools and services? Insecurity specifically, as a CISO, as a practitioner.
Yeah. I think it's tough because there's a good way to do it and there's a cringe-worthy way to do it. This to me was cringe-worthy. This to me, so I don't have a television. I mean, I've got big computer screens and I've got 80-inch monitors and all that kind of stupid shit, but I don't actually have television. And I don't have television because most TV programs treat you like an idiot, especially in this country. Now, if I want to watch something, I'll go watch like Blue Planet or something like that, because Sir David Attenborough, one, he's got the sexiest voice on mankind. Secondly, he's definitely somebody who, when you listen to him, is like, I need to hug you. I mean, Sir David Attenborough is just... one of the nicest, amazingest humans on planet, and his voice is amazing, and he doesn't treat you like a bloody idiot. And I've grown up with him. I mean, let's face it, I was a kid and I was listening into him. So I will watch a planet that treats, I will watch a program that treats me like an educated human being. I will not watch a television series or a program that tells me something for 10 minutes I already know, then goes to a break and then tells me for the next 2 minutes the stuff it told me 10 minutes beforehand, just in case I forgot the shit that I've forgotten about 5 minutes ago. That sucks. And so something like this advert, this Tom Cruise advert, treats you like an idiot. It belittles you. And to me, it brings the common intelligence level down quite considerably. Now, you're also talking to somebody who's not keen on like the Jackass type stuff, because to me, so much of that, it's the same thing with the prank television series. When you're taking advantage of other people, I don't tend to like that, especially if you're trying to cause humor out of somebody else's suffering. To me, that actually sucks. I have no love for that at all. If you're going to do mass media in our industry, it needs to be done with the right level of humility. Mm-hmm. It needs to be done. There is a balance. There is a balance between being sensible and staid and being a complete goofball. At least sometimes I've gotten that right. But this is where you look at the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett, Douglas Adams level of fun humor, like that dry, sarcastic, but also treating like an educated human being level of humor. That to me, I think, is perfectly acceptable. That to me is where you're looking at your audience and you're assuming they're educated, and you're assuming, even if they don't know your industry, that you can explain it in a way that they will actually understand it. This goes back to, so a perfect example of this is, again, you go back to DEF CON and Black, I'm not DEF CON, you go back to Black Hat and RSA. The worst example I ever saw of this was these phishing games. So you have a booth and there's somebody there going, it's a phishing example, but they literally have an envelope on the bottom of the phishing line and everybody's trying to grab it and all this kind of stupid shit. And I'm like, you assholes, you're making an absolute mockery of this industry. And for me, it's like, if I could bring, so the way I always look at this is, let's go take 100 victims, 10 victims. Let's go take 10 victims of fraud, of cybersecurity, who lost their passwords, lost their identity, lost their savings, lost their healthcare, their medical, their records, and whatever. Let's take those people and walk them around the floor of this conference. How many of the booths would they look at and go, what the fuck are you doing? You screwed me over. And how many of them would be like, okay, thanks for trying. If you fall into that, if you fall into that category of what the fuck, you really should go look in a mirror. If you fall into the category of like, hey, yeah, we're trying, then I think that's okay. And the same thing goes for the media. Like, I take 10 victims of identity fraud and show them that fucking, that Tom Cruise lookalike bullshit. They're going to turn to me and they'd be like, really? That's what you're doing to try to help me? Right. That sucks. Right.
I do want to talk about good examples because everybody likes a good example.
You've got the one. I like it. I think it's
I got the one. Yeah. And if you can think about another one where you saw kind of mass media or you know, mainstream in a marketing campaign or use in sales messages, let me know. But there's one that really stood out to me. I think it was a few years back. I don't remember when. I got to take a look at the timestamp. But do any of you remember the campaign One Password put out with Ryan Reynolds? Because that one to me was really well done. High production value, obviously. And I'm not saying like, okay, go out and hire Ryan Reynolds or a super actor, right? I mean, that's a chunk of change. But they're the way that they structured this campaign, the way they did it, I think was really well done because of four reasons. And I want to break them down here. So for me, I think they captured elements that were critical to success. One, there was humor and charm. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is the pinnacle of humor and charm, in my opinion. I think so.
And it's never done in a rarely done in a belittling way.
Yes, unless he's yelling at a soccer player in the ad, which is fucking hilarious.
Yes.
So I think that in and of itself, super memorable, super engaging. He's memorable and engaging. So I think that naturally super fits into humor and charm. Second is the celebrity appeal, right? Everybody wants a celebrity on, but he really does that superstar, has that superstar celebrity appeal. Who doesn't want Deadpool on an ad with him, right? There's star power, power there. Trust and credibility. He's credible. He's not Tomas Cruise. He's Ryan Reynolds, okay? We know that he has a reputation of being trustworthy. He does a lot of ad campaigns. He's on LinkedIn. He's on, you know, he has a bunch of different businesses. He's an investor. So that in and of itself creates trust and credibility in the service, in the product, right? And this last one is super, super critical in that he's personally involved with 1Password. He's an investor. He's part of the company, right? He's not just a spokesperson that was hired. He's involved, right?
And that's, I think, a big one as well, is you need somebody that's vested into this whole thing because it sure as hell shows through when they're not.
So that adds that level of authenticity and, right, like, we're part of this mission, right? Ryan's part of this mission of expanding the visibility of 1Password, making it super clear to the audience, the end user, the value of 1Password super simply and in an engaging format. So I really thought that was a well-executed campaign. Bravo to the CMO and the marketing team that set that up, and bravo to Ryan Reynolds. Hopefully he's watching. So take a look at that. I'll drop the link. There are two videos that I like. One is the initial campaign, which is where he's a soccer team with the soccer team. The second is when he's with his password manager, a physical password manager, and she's giving him those hilarious Ryan passwords. So
I got a good one for you. And I knew there was one out there that I really liked and I couldn't remember where it was and I just found it. So for those of you that are close to YouTube at the moment, Google checkpoint nachos malware edition.
Okay.
I knew it was going around somewhere.
We'll definitely do that. And for those of you who have other good examples of ad campaigns or messages or anything mass media, mainstream media, used in campaigns or just to persuade and engage folks, plug those in here. Because I also do want to ask the audience, like, if you are in a limited budget, because lots of folks are in a limited budget right now, but you still want that wow factor, the celebrity appeal or the mass, you know, use of mass media, right? What is the option, right?
I just sent it to you on text. So you'll get on text if you want to come paste it. It's actually a really freaking awesome one. And I like it because, again, it's got humor. It's fun. It is also what I liked about this one is accidents happen. We all know that stuff happens, stuff occurs. And this is just the most perfect example of that. Have a watch of it. I think you'll love it.
All right. Yeah, I'm placing it. Chris. All right. I got to get out of there. I'm on my mobile. Chris, how dare you?
I love the fact we're live on this stuff. This works beautifully.
I was going to just say.
Good grief. I think a couple. Yeah. Again, okay, so this is, that's a perfect example of that one. I think this is another one where I think annoys the hell out of me because I know how much it costs to sponsor an F1 car, having raced and done other stupid things in my life. Oops. Having raced and done other things in my life.
Or you could sponsor Justin Razor, who actually builds cars out of scrap. By the way, I'm probably totally butchering this. Justin, I think you're on today. He actually has an Audience First sticker on his car. This is really cool. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. We can do that. Colin Fuse is another good one. He's another British civilized gentleman who does crazy stuff like that. Yeah, take a look at the Nacho Malware ones are fun.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a way of doing, and maybe this is just me. It is very possible that it's just me because I'm, let's face it, I've got the old man kind of attitude going on. So it's very, very possible it's just me. There are certain types of humor that just fall flat. And, you know, this award ceremony thing I was at last week was another one of those, like I'm sitting there watching some of their adverts and I'm like, these are absolutely terrible. Yeah. You know, treats you like an idiot. And at that point, I switch off. I got no time for you at this point.
So, well, there's lots to learn from examples, you know.
Yeah, there are ways of doing it with, you know, it's the integrity thing. It's you do have 5, maybe 10 seconds to capture my attention. But you're not going to do it by making a fool out of yourself. You're not going to do it by making a fool out of me. You sure as hell aren't going to do it by over-promising and under-delivering because, well, welcome to our industry. We're sarcastic and unfortunately have been well bruised over too much of that occurring. So I think it's going to take something pretty special. I mean, no two ways about it. And no free socks won't do it. So I think it is that operating with honesty and integrity. And that does shine through. There are some booths. A perfect example. You know, I was in RSA. I was walking around the bleachers, the cheap and cheerful seats of the booths. And there are a couple of companies there. Apricom, who does the heavily encrypted USB drives. Those folks were there. And I loved the booth. The booth was nice and simple. It had very simple, but very eloquent messaging. It was straight to the point. It was exactly what we do. There was no bullshit, no messing. And basically it said what we needed to hear. And I loved it. And so I walked up and had a very intellectual conversation. That was perfect. Now we use them here. You know, we basically wiped out any other USB stuff and said, this is what we're going to use. This shit ain't that hard. And that was a bleachers booth. And there were a couple of others. There was another one of the Thread Intel companies out of the UK. Mm-hmm. Same thing. Their booth, it was 16 by 16 or something like that. But it was simple. And then there were some good examples, I think, in the bleachers because so many of those companies have limited budget and limited amount of space. So they've got to make the most effective use. Now, there were some fucking Muppets there as well who were trying with the stupid games and they were trying with all sorts of... Actually, you know what? I was talking about that. Sorry, squirrel moment. Rocky Mountain InfoSec, RMISC conference that happened here a month or two ago. Beautiful idea. The conference itself brought in a whole bunch of old school video games, video games, and scattered them at a whole bunch of the different booths. Total free pay, total amount of fun. And so many people were just going backwards and forwards, and you know, you could sponsor the top whatever, but it was actually a really nice way of doing it because it kept people in and around. And so some people talked, some people didn't. It was actually a good way of doing it.
You know, and the other alternative is you know, you could just hire me and Chris and we could do our thing because we're pretty cool. And
you hire you. You're nicer than I am. I scared.
But imagine if we had like a duel, like, you know, just like a like campaign where you had a duel where you were the disgruntled buyer and I was trying to like,
that'd be hilarious. Gosh, yes. Hey, speaking of that, we have, who the hell was it? There was a really good, I tagged you on a LinkedIn thing. Somebody else, another, who this Meg was it that says we need to go on? Kevin Fielder.
You tagged just a few hours ago, right? Something like that.
Yeah, he's over in NatWest, CISO yeah. over there as well. And I loved it. He put a really nice post, kind of like in the same yep. level as you, actually way nicer than I am, and in the same level as like you and he. I loved it because it was another one of those, look, here's how to approach me, here's what to do, here's what not to do, and here's why. And I absolutely freaking loved it. So we need to get Kevin on the show at some point in time, definitely.
All right, we have time we'll definitely do that. We have time for a few questions. I'm going to actually ask questions today, given I'm pressed for time. Sorry, folks. Two-part question. Okay, so Jordan is asking, what types of booths – okay, we kind of touched on this, but what kind of booths catch your eye first? And can a company ride the wave of trend – oh, gosh, I don't even want to answer that one.
Can the company ride the wave of
ride the wave of a trending movie like Barbie – or should they focus on being original? I mean,
you know, I think they probably can. You could probably write it for a short period of time. I would hesitate against it because most of us are sarcastically out of, you know, Cyber Reason did it with their freaking digital owls and they plastered it all over RSA. It was almost like a Transformer yep. thing. And so many of us wanted to take them outside and just beat them upside the head with a wet hatter.
Okay. Well, I mean, Transformers, I can understand, but like would Barbie resonate? Maybe from a nostalgic perspective? I don't know. Like for sales or security folks, I don't know. Like, and I just think it's just beating a dead horse. Everybody's doing it. It's not original.
You have to be original. I think that's the big thing. You'd have to be, quite honestly. Okay. So here's the other thing. Think about it this way. So many of your buyers grew up in 70s, 80s, 90s, and the thousands.
I mean, I get it.
So you want to come out with something fun. I've seen some good Lego ones. I've actually seen some a couple of folks have done some good Lego figurines. I mean, you turn up at a conference with a big ass bucket of, you know, 100-gallon bucket of Lego and say, make whatever you mm-hmm. want. I'd never leave. Mm-hmm. I'd be making shit up. I mean, that's what we've been doing in the industry. But I think that would be fun. I think there are definitely ways of being unique, but you got to be really careful. And again, if you're going to do it, this is where you grab Danny. Like, plug for Danny. It's where you grab Danny and go, hey, Danny, do me a favor. Get your team of sarcastic CISOs together. We have ideas. We want to run by mm-hmm. them. The Tinkerers, we do the same thing with the Tinkerers. I mean, it's the same kind of idea. It's like, you know, you put money in, you put money to charity, and it's, you get a bunch of us together and we're going to give you our opinions. And you can accept them or not. It's entirely up to you.
I just, you know, I had an idea for like a roundtable live virtual Sarcastic CISOs. Welcome to the show. That would be the name of the show, Sarcastic CISOs. Anyway, we didn't answer the first question. What kind of booths...
What kind of booths catch your eye? So from my standpoint, for me, it's the simpler, the better. The big, overly complex ones, I have no time for. The ones that have six screens on them, I have no time for. There are a couple that I've seen at the conferences, which are almost like a back to nature kind of thing. There's actually a couple of really, really nice ones that I've seen at conferences where it's like lighter woods, some greenery in there, basically something that doesn't look like another freaking custom, you know, out of the box booth. There was one that almost looked like a small forest that was actually really, really nicely mm-hmm. done. The the overly things that are tangible as well. You want to talk about stuff that back to that 100-gallon bathtub of Lego, that would catch my eye because it's something that's tangible, something I can play with, something I can deal with. The stupid, you know, spin the wheel crap and all that stuff, I have no time for. And again, I think it's treat me like an adult, and I don't need to be sold to in the same way as I'm walking up and down the washing liquid aisle in Whole Foods. You know, I don't need that crap. Because you and the 1,000 others looking exactly the same, you stand out by not standing out, if that makes any sense at all.
It does.
You know, it's Apple is a perfect example of that. You look at how simple the Apple store is, the way their color palettes are laid out, the way their tables are laid out. They are laid out in such a way that it takes that stress level down. It takes the complication away, and it leaves you with a very, very simple decision. It leaves you with a very, very easy thing to do. Whereas you walk into a Best Buy store or a Micro Center or used to be a Fry's, and you'd be like, I mean, in some ways you're like, hey, playtime. But in other ways, the inner you, the mental health part of you, is screaming and curled up in a corner.
Right.
Whereas same thing with a booth, you know, you walk around all these damn booths and my mental health indicator pegs after like the first 20 steps. So the first booth that I walk up to that's got like a nice green civilized kind of setting, minimal bullshit on there, but tells me enough to be informed and maybe has a cup of tea and a kettle or a coffee machine or an espresso machine, I'm going to be like, an oasis to hang out at to ignore the rest of the world for 10 minutes.
Love it. We have another two great questions from Kyle and Maria. We'll start with Kyle's question first. What level of technical expertise do you expect in the booth?
I expect enough to keep me on my toes, but not enough that is going to... So I would like to see an SE there. I'd like to see an SE. I'd like to see somebody that can explain more than just the buzzwords. So let's talk about endpoint detection. So if I walk up to an endpoint detection booth, I need somebody that can explain it past the acronyms. I need somebody that can explain it to me in how it's deployed, in how it's installed, in what way it works, in what way it doesn't work. I don't just need all the pluses. I need to know the shit that doesn't work. This is a very, very important point. Perfect example would be we're rolling out some software here and it doesn't work on particular types of Macs. I'm like, what the fuck? Hit the engineers up. Apparently we didn't ask the right question. Bastards. When I see you, I will hunt you down and I will gut you with a spork. So for me, it's having people who know the pros and also the cons. I need that real life, somebody who's had hands-on keyboards, somebody who has installed, somebody who's gone through the bruises, somebody that's run into somebody like me, somebody could answer the questions on the deployment, the way it works, and various other things. Well, that to me, I think is almost a necessity. Again, so that depending upon show size. I mean, you were talking black hat RSAs and those ones. Absolutely. Now, the smaller shows, give me somebody who can at least answer one or two tiers of those questions. Don't just send, you know, this is what interface conferences. I used to love presenting at the interface conferences. F2F, Joe Asher and the team are absolutely freaking amazing with those conferences. And I love them, but I would hate it when so often I would see nothing more than the sales rep turn up, unfurl a couple of banners and sit down with some propaganda on the table. Because I'm like, you've wasted the entire opportunity. You know, give me somebody who can actually answer a couple of decent questions rather than going, yeah, I'll get somebody in touch with you. Because that's basically one of those. I'm here at the show. I would like answers now because I will make a very rapid determination as to whether we're going to have another conversation or not based off of this. Mutera, another perfect example, another really, really good one at RSA. Really good guys there, diverse team of folks there, I should say. And that was what I liked as well. It was a diverse group of folks. That caught my eye first and foremost. Secondly, what also caught my eye was a very, very simple messaging, very, very simple booth, purple and some fun, a couple of other colors on there. When I asked them the questions, I got amazingly good technical answers. The fucking CEO was there and one of the senior guys was there. So we had a really good conversation, which is why we're talking with them now, you know, stuff like that.
Super valuable insight right there. You've wrapped up the show. You're on your drive home from the show. What's appropriate for post-conference follow-up and timing for that follow-up?
2 weeks. Not the following week, because the following week I'm recovering from being at a conference for a week. You give me a week's worth of breathing room, you shoot me a note on LinkedIn, or if I hand you my business card, it means we talk. If I didn't hand you my business card, it means we don't talk.
Yeah.
If I gave you a business card, that's a cue to talk. If I took one of your business cards, I will be in touch. Otherwise, I'm not going to waste them. And so for me, it's typically the week after I've been back from the conference, because that way I got a chance to catch
My up. Question, business cards, yay or nay? Yep.
I carry business cards. I mean, I still carry, and here it is. I have a bright yellow. That's my business card holder. If I give you one of these, there's a reason for it. If I don't give you one.
All right. Look out for the yellow card holder, folks. If it's coming out, you're doing good things.
Yeah, I will not, you won't get a bloody QR code out of me, and I won't accept your QR code, but you can either hit me up on LinkedIn, one of those, or I'll get you a card and I'll take one. So yeah, have business cards with you. I don't do QR codes. In fact, many of us don't do QR codes.
Now, Maria asks a second part to the question is, will you connect live with folks on LinkedIn in real time? So my assumption is afterwards, do like a LinkedIn live, Maria? Is that what you're asking?
I'll hook up on I'll grab. I mean, that's my Friday afternoons. My Friday afternoons are set aside for vendor meetings, and so quite often it's one of those where if I've got a good conversation, then I will connect you with Noel, who's looking after my calendar, and Noel will get you scheduled for a Friday afternoon, and we will spend no more than 30 minutes talking.
Right. Love it. This has been super valuable. We're at the end of the session.
Yeah, we're going to get you off because you had to go off early.
I have to go off 5 minutes early, take the child to school. This is school day.
Cool.
She's not missing because it's our day off to celebrate Tal's birthday. So I'm super excited.
Good. One over time.
I will. Everybody, this has been super great to have you on. Thanks for engaging in the comments. We will see a lot of you at Black Hat next week. If not, we will be live next week, me and Chris together in a room Wednesday morning. What the fuck Wednesdays at the Venetian. So we're going all fancy schmancy.
As long as I'm allowed in. Don't ask.
I will ask, actually.
That's for next Wednesday.
We'll say that for next Wednesday. Thank you, everybody, for joining. This has been another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are out.
All right.